Welcome to People Rise Up on your community radio station, KBOO. My name is Andrew Geller, and we are going to be speaking about efforts already underway for a little while now to ensure that the provisions of the USA Patriot Act that are set to sunset at the end of December won't. And proponents, I'm sure, would like to see it expanded to some extent or another. And joining me this morning to talk about some of the provisions that are going to be sunsetting, what's going on in Congress, including tomorrow, regarding reauthorization, as well as efforts to not only stop the reauthorization, but to fully repeal the Patriot Act and reinstate all constitutionally guaranteed rights here in the United States. I'm pleased to bring up Hope Marston. She is the Western Regional Organizer for the National Bill of Rights Defense Committee. Welcome to KBOO, Hope.
Hi, Andrew.
And it's sort of ironic because you're actually just about in our listening area.
Just nearly. Whenever I drive through Portland, I make sure I turn the radio to KBOO.
Now, for folks who don't remember some of the basic details about the Patriot Act, it was a series of long-sought-after provisions and other legal stuff, for lack of a better word, that was passed in legislation 6 weeks, almost to the day, after the September 11th attacks. And it enabled enabled law enforcement to do a lot of things they wanted to be able to do for a really long time. And no one was able to actually read a copy of the legislation before it was passed. Can you kind of broadly, and then we'll dive into some of the specific provisions, broadly describe some of what law enforcement is now able to do because of the Patriot Act that they couldn't do before its passage?
Yeah, and you're right about Congress not being able to really take a look at it before they passed it on October 26, 2001. Peter DeFazio, who's a congressional representative from the Eugene area here in Oregon, actually said that the bill was still warm in his hands from the copy machine because they were given such little time to take a look at it. And this bill is broadly defined and reaches out to a lot of different areas. And it actually deals with a lot of privacy issues. It deals with wiretapping. It enables police to go into your home and search it without telling you ahead of time. If you look at the Fourth Amendment, it talks about the right of the people to be secure in their homes and that a warrant has to be issued. And you're used to hearing that when someone's home is going to be searched, there's a knock on the door, you're presented with a warrant, you get to take a look at what things are going to be searched in your home. But that's not the case with these sneak and peek searches. Your home can be actually searched without you being there, without you being presented a warrant. They could have the wrong home, in fact, and search it and delay notification of the warrant that they received. There's also Section 215, which is talked about as the library provision, but actually never mentions libraries, but it enables the FBI to get all tangible things, is how it's put in Section 215. And libraries have been very concerned about this because it means, in essence, that the FBI can go get your medical records, your library records, your school records, any sort of records they want to, without having to present any probable cause that they're actually looking at you as some sort of a suspect for any sort of criminal act. And Alberto Gonzalez, who is now our new Attorney General, has taken a pretty strong stand in wanting to keep this provision, even though librarians across the country, as well as civil liberties groups and Bill of Rights defense committees all over the country, have been very much opposed to this and the sneak and peek provisions and the wiretapping abilities, where you don't necessarily have to get a warrant specifically for a specific person. You could get a warrant sort of for just a whole neighborhood. You could get a warrant for a whole area of town. And it's basically a lot of sifting through a lot of information. And if you take a look at what happened on 9/11, the 9/11 Commission didn't say that there was really anything wrong with the collection gathering that had taken place in the FBI. It was really that the FBI wasn't using the information that they had correctly. Well, now with the Patriot Act, they gather so much more information. I'm not sure that they're really equipped to handle more information when they weren't equipped to handle less information before the Patriot Act. But those are some of the highlights.
As they were. And there's a couple of things that you mentioned that are really drastic, radical shifts in how law enforcement was able to pursue investigations. You mentioned that you individually do not have to be the subject of the investigation to be covered or to be subjected to any and all of these searches. And additionally, you don't even have to be told at any point that right. You were subject to any of all of these searches.
Right. And I heard some testimony the other day from one of the assistant attorney generals who gave the example of, well, what if you knew that Muhammad Atta lived in this apartment and he had a roommate? Wouldn't you want the authority to go in and search his roommate? Well, that kind of argument really is a fallacy on its face, because if you knew Muhammad Atta had actually flown a plane into the World Trade Center, that would be a whole different story than mm-hmm. Muhammad Atta, anonymous person who you didn't necessarily know had done anything. You may have suspected that he did something. And so it really takes suspects and turns them into terrorists. It just defies the presumption of innocence that has always been the core of the rule of law in this country.
And if I can flip pages here real quickly, I can explain how the Patriot Act defined a newly created crime, and that being that of domestic terrorism. The Patriot Act defines domestic terrorism as, quote, acts dangerous to human life that are a violation of the criminal laws of the United States or of any state, and I assume there they mean the 50 states, and that, quote, appear to be intended to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion. Now, the only reason that the administration can't be indicted on this very charge mm-hmm. regarding its foreign policy is the fact that it's taking place outside of the United States.
Well, but this is an interesting spin to put on it.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, it's exactly what we did in Iraq. It's what we do in many countries. It's what the government of this country does in many places around the world, is it uses acts dangerous to human life that appear to be intended to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion.
So, well, if the Bush administration actually had to live up to all of the kinds of things that it tries to get everyone else to live up to, you know, including complaining about Newsweek for outing them for their mistreatment of the Quran, you know, as if that's actually what caused people in the Arab right. world to rise up and say, wow, the United States is really not respecting our religion. I mean, it's those kinds of double standards that the Bush administration is known for.
Now, specifically, the Patriot Act takes broad aim at significant pieces of the First, Fourth, Fifth, Sixth, and Eighth Amendments to the United States Constitution. And there are several provisions that are included in the sunset provisions that impact those amendments. Why don't we... Which page am I on here? Why don't we take a look at some of the provisions, some of the sections in the Patriot Act that are scheduled to sunset, and reasons that they should be eliminated in any, or I guess not reauthorized.
That's right.
You mentioned initially Section 213. A lot of these are in the Section 2 or the Title 2. Of the Act, and y'all can go and find the legislation online if you really want to take a look. But Section 213 expands the government's ability to execute criminal search warrants, according to information on the ACLU's website, as well as to seize property without telling the target. So what's
but
wrong with that?
That one doesn't expire December 31st, 2005. That's not one of the okay. provisions that sunsets. We will still have sneak and peek searches after December 31st, 2005, unless there is some legislation that goes through to eliminate that part of the Patriot Act.
Okay, well, I'm sure I can find one of these that in fact expires.
Oh, yeah, Section 215, yeah. The access to records, tangible items, that is supposed to sunset. There are some seizure of voicemail messages pursuant to warrants, some roving surveillance authority, wiretapping abilities, nationwide service of search warrants for electronic evidence. In other words, instead of going to a local judge, they're able to use a judge in D.C. or wherever they want to initiate a nationwide search for electronic evidence. Those things all will expire on December 31st, 2005, unless the Congress acts now to preserve some of those. And they are in negotiations with the Justice Department to do that. However, I did just learn yesterday that the Senate Intelligence Committee is already starting to do a markup of the Patriot Act reauthorization legislation tomorrow. And all that's going to happen behind closed doors. So just as before in 2001, when the Patriot Act came to us all nice and wrapped with a ribbon, and the public didn't really get to have any public discourse or comment on it, it sounds like they're trying to do the same thing again, having this take place behind closed doors. So we're hoping that people will call their senators. We've got Ron Wyden, who is actually on the Senate Committee on Intelligence. It would be great if people could give him a call and let him know that we would like some public input into this process. We don't want this all to happen behind our backs. And I can give you Ron's phone number if you'd like to give him a call in Washington, D.C. It's 202-224-5244.
And just to be fair, as devil's advocate as I like to play, there were two public hearings in April regarding this on the 19th and 27th, one of which was dedicated to government testimony and the other to looks like non-governmental people, but not necessarily civil liberties advocates, although the ACLU and Center for Democracy and Technology, two great groups, mm-hmm. and the Center for National were represented there, as well as more conservative perspectives that I imagine would support reauthorization. But yeah, Thursday the 19th, there will be secret hearings regarding the reauthorization of the Patriot Act, and it's tough to know if that might be the last one or not.
Yeah, we really don't know, and this is happening, we feel, in a big hurry. We'd like to have had a lot more public discussion this year about which parts of the Patriot Act should sunset. And not only that, because there really are a lot of people who are saying, you know, the sunset provisions, they don't really take out some of the main offenders of mm-hmm. our civil liberties. And we'd like to get at those things. We'd like to get the sneak and peek provisions out. And in fact, there was an amendment to an appropriations bill back in 2003 that was brought up by Butch Otter, a Republican from Idaho, who definitely opposed the sneak and peek searches, and that was actually passed by the House of Representatives. So there was a lot of feeling, even though this was passed by a broad majority of both Democrats and Republicans in 2001. By the time 2002 and 2003 rolled around and some of our communities started rising up and passing resolutions at the city level, county level, and state level, and now we have 383 of these resolutions, Congress started realizing that the people really were speaking out against this. And Butch Otter, Bob Barr, Lisa Murkowski, other people in the Senate and the House in Congress began to realize that this really is a problem. And there are now a number of bills before Congress, including the SAFE Act, Security and Freedom Assured, to disembody,
eliminate
some of these provisions of the Patriot Act that really are not working, not only for left-wing people, but also for conservatives. So when you say that some conservatives testified before Congress at these hearings, and two hearings just isn't really nearly enough, mm-hmm. but it's a start anyway, but there are a lot of conservatives, including Bob Barr, who is out there on the circuit really trying to work to get these problem areas eliminated from the Patriot Act. And in fact, I know that he's trying to help us a little bit here in Oregon with a resolution that we are trying to put before the Oregon legislature. A number of legislatures in the country, seven of them, have now passed resolutions, including the latest being Montana and Colorado. Both of those had bipartisan support. Oregon's is starting off in the Republican wing of the legislature, so it's really not a partisan issue at all. It's really a patriotic issue.
Right, because we all enjoy the same rights.
That's right.
You're listening to People Rise Up on KBOO. My guest this morning is Hope Marston, Western Regional Organizer for the National Bill of Rights Defense Committee. You can find out more about them online at www.bordc.org. And the People Rise Up website at kboo.fm has links to them, as well as a bunch of other organizations and concepts and ideas that you just mentioned in your last little bit there. So you can see documentation about what Hope just mentioned, whether it's legislation aimed at preserving civil liberties or it's funny you mentioned Butch Otter. I have several Butch Otter quotes here in front of me, one of which I'm going to mention here that's compiled as part of a list that the ACLU put together of so-called conservative voices against the USA Patriot Act. And Butch Otter, Republican from Idaho, quoted in November of 2003, said, "You cannot give up freedom, you cannot give up liberty and be safe. When your freedom is lost, it makes no difference who took it away from you," which is pretty darn appropriate. And James Sensenbrenner, longtime representative in the House from Wisconsin and chair of the House Judiciary Committee, was quoted in January of 2004 that, quote, "over my dead body," end quote, would the Patriot Act be reauthorized without extensive hearings in the House. So hopefully three won't satisfy him and he'll do what he can to make sure there's more.
Yes, we definitely need a lot more public input. And in fact, the Bill of Rights Defense Committee is organizing with various groups, well, with all of our groups around the country, to get some days of action going around these reauthorization hearings so that they will hear the voices of the people. Because there are so many people who have risen up against this over the last 3 years, the last 4 years, and we really do deserve to be heard. There are people, you know, librarians, school teachers, you know, construction workers, people that really never had gotten involved in any sort of political activity before, who became inspired by wanting to preserve our Bill of Rights and wanting to make sure that our children enjoy the same freedoms that we have in being able to have privacy and being able to have an attorney when we go to jail, and not just being rounded up at whim and disappeared, as happened to over 1,000 Muslim men right after September 11th. I mean, there's just been so much abuse on the part of the U.S. federal government in the same sort of frenzy of fear as took place in the 1940s when Japanese Americans were rounded up and put into concentration camps. And while it hasn't gone that far this time, it still is enough to make you pause and say, we're really headed down the wrong road, and more public input really needs to be had in this situation.
Now, let's use the remaining bit of time here to talk about both opportunities to promote legislative efforts to eliminate egregious aspects of the USA Patriot Act. And I don't know, I haven't read the whole thing. It's tremendously huge. And I don't know that the entire thing absolutely word for word should be scrapped.
No, there's actually a really nice provision toward the end, which provides for the Office of the Inspector General to have some oversight over the Patriot Act. We like that one because he's actually taken some initiative in highlighting some of these abuses, including the roundup of the over 1,000 Muslim people. And he's now taking a look at what happened with Brandon Mayfield. And we know that there was abuse there, that the finger, not only didn't the fingerprints match, but the Spanish officials had told the Justice Department that the fingerprints matched. And they used a lot of the fact that Brandon Mayfield is a Muslim to enter his house and do a secret search, and then continued to leak information out even after he was found to be innocent to discredit him in the community. So, we definitely know there's at least one part of the Patriot Act that's okay. And some people don't object to the money laundering parts. The ACLU does not object to those. You'll run a gamut of people who have various objections. And then there are a lot of people throughout the grassroots who say, you know what, it was passed in one piece, let's get rid of it in one piece. And if there's anything left there that we need, then we can have it back, and you can have hearings on it. And it can be an open process where we actually all get to say something about it instead of this happening behind closed doors.
Yeah, that actually sounds like a much better option. Get rid of the whole thing, and then if there's stuff that is really necessary and folks want to go through an open public process to get passed, like everything should, then you can do it. Okay, so you had mentioned earlier the SAFE Act, Security and Freedom Enhancement Act. It was reintroduced a little over a month ago in the Senate by Larry Craig from Idaho, and in the House by Butch Otter from Idaho again.
Right.
It would limit roving wiretaps, which is where you don't tap a phone, you tap a person, and any phone they might use can be tapped. There's also the, and I'm just going to jump through a couple of these here and see what you might want to remark on. There's the Freedom to Read Protection Act, introduced again a couple months ago by Bernie Sanders from Vermont, and I guess it's not in the Senate yet. This would reinstate legal standards that were in place for libraries and bookstores before the Patriot Act was passed.
Of this whole list of the weird thing is, this is not all about the Patriot Act either, and we should make that clear, that the Patriot Act has really become a brand name to describe all of the abuses of our Bill of Rights that have happened after September 11th. And the only bill that I've ever seen that really tried to address a lot of the problems, because there are things like attorney general guidelines that allow the FBI to enter mosques and religious groups and political groups without any sort of sense that there may be any reason to believe there's somebody there who may be involved in a crime or in terrorism. There are the executive orders which allow military tribunals, and there are the decisions that George Bush has made to establish Guantanamo Bay. None of those things are in the Patriot Act. But the one bill that did actually address more of those things was Dennis Kucinich's Benjamin Franklin True Patriot Act, which was introduced in 2003. He also addressed the FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, restrictions that Attorney General Ashcroft instated. So what you'll see here, if you go to the Bill of Rights Defense Committee site, bordc.org, you'll see just a number of bills that are out there about torture, extraordinary rendition, FOIA, about freedom to read, and nothing is really just all in one bill, and that's kind of too bad, because then we have a lot of fronts to work on. It just makes more work for all of us.
Yeah, and then there's all the memoranda and kind of administrative rulings that done as a result of the Patriot Act being passed, not the least of which being the ability of federal officials being able to listen in on previously privileged attorney-client conversations.
Exactly.
And then the FBI memo from October of 2003, which basically told local police to monitor legal political activities a la COINTELPRO of the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and just oh so much more. So if you're interested in finding out more about this, the Bill of Rights Defense Committee website is a great place to look. The ACLU website is a great place to look, just as a couple of real basic obvious choices. And the Bill of Rights Defense Committee site is really inspiring because you list all 380-something.
83 at this point.
Okay, I thought it was 87 anyway.
Sorry.
let's give it the bigger number.
No, it's actually 383. It's 376 cities and counties in 7 states that have passed resolutions, which affects almost 62 million people.
One thing I didn't see, which actually might be a nice way to represent that, is to actually have it as a map.
Oh, yeah.
And just little dots of all around the country of where those are.
We actually do have a big map that we've taken to a conference or two, but that would be good to have on the site. And actually, our site is just getting updated. We're going to have a new one in a couple of weeks, and I've seen the previews of it. It really is very navigable. So please stay tuned and take a look at that. We also have a newsletter that we send out every month, and you can find out about that on the website as well.
So now, in our last moment or two here, what can we do to have some sort of impact, especially if the hearing, the secret hearing tomorrow, in fact, is the last one in the House?
This would be in the Senate, actually.
Oh, in the Senate. My mistake.
I think people really do need to get on the phone and call Ron Wyden at 202-224-5244. That's 202-224-5244. If you'd like to send him an email, you can go to the website at lanerights.org. That's for the Lane County Bill of Rights Defense Committee, lanerights.org. There's a place to contact Ron Wyden directly there. I think people just continue to need to speak out. You can get involved in the Days of Action that we're trying to get together early this summer to get more people involved in this process of opening the doors and letting the public comment. There are Bill of Rights defense committees all over the state, and if you want to get more information about those, you can contact us at info@bordc.org, and we'll let you know what's available in your area. The Portland group worked pretty hard on helping to get the Joint Terrorism Task Force not to be reauthorized recently, and that was some really great work. They also worked very hard to get a Multnomah County resolution and a Portland resolution. I don't think that they're as active right now in the resolution kind of work, but you can definitely write to us at info@bordc.org, and we can let you know more about what's going on in your area.
Hope Marston is the Western Regional Organizer for the Bill of Rights Defense Committee. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Hope.
Hey, thanks, Andrew. It was a pleasure.
All right, take care.
Bye.
So this is happening this year. This is absolutely going to be happening. I know some of the stuff that myself and other people talk about is always in the hype, or is sometimes in the hypothetical, and maybe things don't come to pass, but efforts to reauthorize the Patriot Act have to happen in 2005. Because it ends, the sunset provisions expire at the end of December. If you have any questions or comments on this or any other show you've heard, you can send me email at kboo@riseup.net or regular mail here down at the station, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. So thank you very much for listening.